I was talking to a man who has charge of the worship service in a church in Liberty, Pennsylvania. And they record their services. But he said, we only put out the messages. He said, we don't think it's profitable to use the music because they can't understand it. So sing with diction, will you? These hymns that I've selected, and they're good hymns. Number 675, He Hideth My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock. 675. I selected that hymn because it has to do with clothing, covering, and like we're covered in his righteousness, brightness, and covered with his hand. We're on the subject tonight of put on the overcoat of love. Now, this next hymn 111 is to a tune. You know, the tune is Stand Up for Jesus. It's 111. I selected that hymn because I thought it had relevance to the Thanksgiving season. That second stanza, if you don't mind, I'll go over with thee again. To bless the earth thou sendest, from thine abundant store, the waters of the springtime enriching it once more. The seed by thee provided is sown over a hill and plain, and thou with gentle showers dost bless the springing rain and grain, and it tells about the harvest. If we're going to talk about standing up for Jesus, let's go to 4:7-8, and where it says, "Stand up, my soul, shake off thy fears." 4:7-8. Remain standing for prayer as we read God's holy word. I start to read in verse 12 of the third chapter of Colossians. "Put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let's pray. Our Father, you brought us here tonight. We're grateful because we expect that you would meet with us. And as we sing these hymns and admonish one another, and as we turn to your precious word, it is your very breath, this inspiration inspired of thee. We pray that the word would be precious to us, that we might have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and that the Spirit of God might have course in each of our hearts, and that we might be taught and edified and helped for the cause of Christ and for his glory, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Thanks, Paul. Now, if you're in Colossians, the third chapter, I want us to consider verse 14. And this verse 14 is kind of an interesting verse as far as I'm concerned, because I believe it has the idea of taking off clothes and the old nature sins portrayed or figured as clothing, and also the new man with his clothing, the figures of clothing for the new man. And now we come to the queen of all the virtues that we ought to put on. And I suppose that some of you may have gotten to the place where you say, well, he's going to talk about love, and the Bible talks about love, and we've got kind of, I have at least, been conditioned from the liberals and the modernists today. They have somewhat of a sentimental, sloppy agape. Well, the word agape means love. They talk about love, love, love. And then if you have any cognizance of Hollywood, romantic Hollywoodism, they don't understand what real love is either, because they confuse love and lust. And so this matter of the word love, we need to spend a little time with it, even though we've been around town. And but this is a command, so therefore I can't just slip by and say, hey, it's okay. It's a mandate, verse 14, for Christians. And he says, now, and above all, the Spirit of God by Paul, speaking through Paul, and above all these things, put on charity. That word charity, as you already know, is in the word for love. And this love is the bond of perfectness, and it binds beautifully. And so I want us to talk about this love. I have the idea that this is talking about that love, which the First Corinthians speaks about. It says it's faith, hope, and love abideth. But the greatest of these is love, the greatest, the queen of all of them. So this love has a way of binding everything together in perfect harmony. I like that, in perfectness. Bind us together. I think it's speaking individually. Yes, we take the Word of God individually, but this letter was written by the Spirit of God to a church. And so you have to keep in mind, as a community here of Christians, that this is being written to. And it also refers to us as a group. Now, we need to analyze, as far as I'm concerned, this command, and that I would like to do this evening. But I think it refers to the outer garment of all these virtues that we have through the new nature. Now, this one is one that is like a robe, or as probably in our society, a top coat or an overcoat. And what is this overcoat or top coat? The Bible says it's love. Put on the top coat of love. And you know, I was brought up in a family that my mother, she dies. She see how young people dress. And I go uptown, I see people walk around. It's cold and they have short sleeve shirts and they walk around and don't have a coat on. my mother would die, she'd always say, "Now get a coat on. You need a coat on." I got a wife that way too. She's, "Make sure, put your coat on. It's cold out there." Well, let's put on this coat tonight that's beautiful. It's a glorious coat. It's love. And I tell you, I'm encouraged because, boy, a top coat can hide a lot of things. And when you say, "I can't handle all these virtues," look at that verse 12. My word, how are you gonna show all those virtues as a Christian? If this is the greatest in verse 14, but we need to look at 12 again, and I don't think you can get too much of it. This also has verse 14, the idea of maybe something like glue or a mortar that holds the bricks together. What holds everything together? Love, agape love, which is self-sacrificial love of God, not this, gooey-ooey stuff. This is the real McCoy. And we need this, according to verse 14, as a command. Say, "I got to put this coat on." And so, all right. It's love is that grace and that power that holds everything together perfectly in harmony. That's what it's saying in verse 14. If you don't have love, verse 12 doesn't mean much to me. He says, "Now listen, you folk, I want you to put on what? You're the elect of God. God's chosen people." Now, if you're dispensationally say, "Well, it's talking about Israel." Oh, please. Let's take verse 12 as it says right here. You're the elect of God. You're the chosen of God. And you're holy and you're loved of God. And so he wants us, you're God's people and you're to be consecrated. That's what the word holy means here, the consecrated to the Lord. You know, it's I sometimes think that we think that running with the crowd is perhaps a better philosophy than trying to be different for Jesus. Well, this verse 12 says the word holy is separated as unto him. You're not to be like part of the crowd. You're supposed to be not conformed to this world. But if you don't have love in verse 12, you say, "Well, I'm elect of God." Yep, I see you. You got a lot of piousity, don't you? You comb your hair the right way. You walk the right way. And you just do everything the right way. That's cold piousity. It smells. So that's not what it's talking about. There's some people who feel that that's Christianity, is to be octoon. And we do everything right. No. That's what you'll have in verse 12 if you don't have love. And who wants that? Just piousity, legalism, not holiness. It just says it's God's people. We are consecrated. We are holy people. And by the way, I always say to myself, the Bible says without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So you're pretentious about being somebody and you're really no Christian, you know Christ. Make sure you do know him, because this is real, what we're talking about. And this battle, we're to love one another. And we're show this proper image of God and to others around about us. But these virtues down here, I want to go over them again. I don't think you can get too much of it. The Bible says, here line, there line, and here word, and here word. You don't know all this yet. And so if I'm going to repeat, and I'm not going to use the same illustrations, but we need to look at these virtues in verse 12. You say, why? Well, I'll tell you why. If you have a coat that'll help you, encourage you in some of these things, because if you're like most of us, you're going to say, "I don't do too well on that one. That one there is, I need to work on that one." But the Bible speaks about us as living epistles, living letters, and as living epistles, well, people read us. They what? They read us. Our lives. Well, wouldn't it be nice if they'd see Christ in us? Not that religious piety, or legalism, or some astutism, or some sophistication. No, they might see Christ. And the way to see Christ is by the way we dress, and we're to put on these virtues. Isn't it strange? People dress because of who they are. And we're to dress with these virtues to show us that we're Christians. We don't have a certain clothing we have to wear. Modesty, yes. But this is the clothing that God wants us to dress. You know, this word put on in verse 12, that's put on, that has the action in the Greek, that is the do it. Do it. Do it now. That's the action. Oh, I'll get around to it one of these days when I get old enough, I'll get pay attention. No. Do it now. Put on these clothes by figure of speech, these virtues. Now I want them on. Yeah, well, Lord, I've spent time with you of how to take off those old things, lying one to another and the old deeds and so forth, and malice up there in verse 8 and so forth. We looked at putting those old things off, but now he's verse 10. It says to us in recapping about now, you put on the new man. You have. I'm a Christian. You have a new nature? Yes. And you got a new, you're a new man then. Well, all right then, dress like a new man. Oh, pardon me? Dress like a Christian. Well, how do I do that? Verse 12. Put on bowels of mercy. Yes. Reflect. You know, we are reflected in our clothing. Do you know that? We saw a young man. I met him a couple places in business. Now he's kind of a big man on Channel 16. But now he's got a striped suit on. And he's a man on Channel 16 now. Now he wears a striped suit. Well, people are known by the clothes they wear. And I want to emphasize that to you, Christian. These are the clothes that he wants us to wear. Do it now. And it has the idea of producing the life that Christ lived. He lived a life with bowels of mercies. And you say, bowels of mercy. If you don't have bowels of mercy, you don't show evidence that you're a real Christian. What are the bowels of mercy? It's a seat of emotions. It has the idea of being compassionate, a sensitivity towards others. And by the way, where is Christ now? You say he's up in glory, sitting right hand Father. Yeah, but I understand Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, well, yes. He's God, he's everywhere. But Christ is in you. And we're to show forth Christ. That's what it's saying here. Bows of mercy. He said, I want people to see this in you and me. Well, from the time we get up in the morning till we go up tonight to bed. And if I come to the breakfast table not having trimmed up and my hair a little scribbly, you still have to treat me as I'm one of God's people. And if you don't have your bathrobe on, lady, or something, and curlers, we still have to accept one another in these situations. We can still show forth Christ. And so this matter of bowels of mercy. And then the next one is, put on the clothing of kindness. Oh, well, I know what that means. Do you know what that means? Kindness comes from the word kin, K-I-N. It means kinness. Well, I don't care. Now, wait a minute. You do care. Kinfolk. You're going to spend probably Thursday with some kinfolk. And kinfolk has the idea that with your family, usually you're showing some special interest and kindness to them and friendship with them and love them. That's what I want you to put on, some kinness. Loving one another. Oh, Lord, you're commanding us to do this? Is this just something the preacher shouts about? No, this is a command of God. By the way, it doesn't hurt us to smile a little bit. It's not going to crack your face. You know, it's amazing. You smile, people smile back. It doesn't hurt to say kind words once in a while. Well, I got my things to do. I don't have time to be that kind of stuff. Yeah. Yeah. The Bible says we're to be courteous. I've often said we ought to take a course in etiquette, some of us, because we don't have much of it. But we got a coat. Oh, what a beautiful thing to have a gorgeous top coat and with a belt around it. Can I tell you this? You know, underneath a top coat, you may have a dirty shirt. I mean, it's not, maybe it's not pressed or something. You can hide a lot of things under a top coat. Yes, you can now. Maybe even a skirt that's not pressed. And God says, I'll give you a top coat. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's the last thing you put on. And it'll cover you all up. And where you fall short of these virtues and you're working on them, he says, I'll tell you what, if you have this top coat on, they won't see all those defects. And you keep working at it. Precious Lord, he wants to cover, help us to get through and show forth Christ if we have this love. Oh, you know, it doesn't hurt to smile, say a kind word, that maybe a little touch on the shoulder. We have to be careful of that, don't we? But, and, you know, put yourself, the word kindness, put yourself in other people's place. I don't like to go to a viewing. I don't like to go to a hospital, somebody dying of cancer. I don't like funerals. Well, you're a preacher, you ought to, yeah, yeah. And I also, as a preacher, say, let the dead bury the dead. I'm not looking for funerals. You say, well, you give the gospel. Yes, but they're getting to a place where they don't want to hear the gospel. They want you to talk about the person that's dead. They're rather getting rid of preachers. Now, anybody can have a service. They don't get tired of this here preaching stuff. Well, let the dead bury their dead then. Had an undertaker ask me that. We were driving to Bloomsburg Cemetery, and he said, hey, can you tell me what that means? And I tried to tell him the best I could. Ah, kindness. Put yourself in other people's place a little bit. It's just not you and the whole world. Oh, come on, Lord. Yes, that's what I mean. That's what that word means. And then it's a matter of humbleness. And that, do we have to talk about humility? It's kind of an attitude of unpretentious. What you see is what you get. We've got insufficiencies, but we got a great God. I got a sovereign God. Amen. So that ought to give us some encouragement about this humility. You know, I told you before, I'll repeat it again. Because the Romans and the Greeks, they did not have a word for humbleness. You know why? They were of the idea that to be humble was a pitiful, pitiful creature. Thing that was to be despised. A lowly thing. We're supposed to be up here. Big shots. Well, they said, we don't want to have a person who has a little value. We want people who are really value. But the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says that has no room for arrogance, the Bible says. It says, you know, pride goeth before a fall. I'm a big shot. Well, just remember this. You may fall. The Bible says if you think you're arrogant and you're really somebody, and he says, I want you as a Christian. You say you love the Lord Jesus and you're a Christ one. I want to see the appearance. I want to see the clothing of you of humbleness as it is there in verse 12. And then he also says he wants to see this matter of meekness. Meekness. Well, that word meekness for our present day situation has the idea of gentleness. Wow. Gentleness. You know, we live in situations where it gets difficult. There are difficult situations we're living in, and it may get worse. And you may take a good look at this figure of clothing that's entitled meekness. You may need some of this. I must tell you this: when I was in sales it was during haymaking time. I told you this before. I stopped at this guy's place, and he had a major breakdown. Now, you can brag all you want to, but when you have a major breakdown and you got acres and acres of hay that has to be taken care of, no, it may rain. You can't say, well, that'll be good now, another 2 days. No, if you're producing milk, that has to be quality hay. And I just happened to pull in, and he was working on his machine. And I thought, boy, this isn't a good time to stop here. But, you know, he was nonchalant about it. He said, look, you know, these things happen. I'm working on it, and I hope to get it done. He knew what he was doing. That's nice to know what you're doing. And he said, well, these things happen, you know, so forth. He had a right attitude. You know, some of us would not have quite the right attitude. Just ask our family. Would have got pretty upset, maybe. Nice. If you have that characteristic, that man told me that he had a time when the Lord did work in his life. So you mean to tell me, Lord, that you give that characteristic to Christians, that distinctiveness? Yes, he says that's part of the new nature, and I give that characteristic. But you have the responsibility to say, I want that more in my life. All right. And you say, okay, that mental gentleness, and it is controlled strength. You know what it is that you've seen them? They break horses, a wild horse, and tame them, or break a colt. That's nice. Nice. You walk into the corral, and the horse comes to you. You say, the last time I saw that thing was a wild creature. What'd you do, man? So I broke him. You know, this is kind of telling tales out of school, but a man told me that his son, just a little guy, and he said, I had to break his will. Oh, man, I don't want to go into this. No, he said, I had to. And he said, I told him to do something, and he ignored me. And He said, now when Dad tells you something, he wants you to listen. You're not going to do it. And he tore off, started to run. And he came back and he said, now, listen, you have to listen. When I ask you to do something here in the barn, I want you to do it. And he said, no, I'm going to do it. And he started off. His dad ran after him and got him. And he said, I gave him a licking. And I said, listen to me. And he started to move away again. He said, I gave him a licking second. Whoa, we can't talk like this in the pulpit. It's not politically correct. But it's the way he did it. And I saw him last Tuesday, the preacher. Yeah, the preacher at the funeral. There's Willie. God says, this is a characteristic I want. I want a gentleness. I want you to put it on now. Not when you get around to it. Put it on now. That's what the word put on means. Oh, well, no. God's speaking to all of us. Well, that sounds pretty hard. Let me say this to you. This is personal, but it's true. I am really sedated tonight. I had, I'm going to tell you my story because it's true. I have a tooth back here. Years ago, I had it filled, taken care of. And it down underneath, it cracked along the side, and the infection took place, and I have a really bad situation. It's bad. If I wasn't under pain relief, I couldn't preach here tonight. That's how bad it is. And God has said, you can have that same thing religiously. Under real hard circumstances, he said, I can tell you this. I can bring it under a soothing situation. He said, I can give you a pain relief. Now, I want to tell you something.
you might as well learn this. Don't ask a senior citizen how they are anymore. Because all we know about is how to take care of our old selves. And we have this ache and we have this pain. Don't ask me how you are. Now, I told you how I am, but I'm feeling great because I'm under sedation. Isn't it wonderful relief? He says, listen, you can experience a soothing, a controlling strength under adverse situations if you have this virtue of gentleness. Anybody interested? Anybody ask for some more improvement? Well, we did go over this, preacher. Yeah, but I want to go over some of these again. What's the next one before we quit around here? Is long-suffering, the last there on page verse 12. Well, I know what long-suffering is. Do you? What is it? Well, it has to do with patience. It has the idea of being emotionally calm in the face of provocation. You ever been provoked? Have you ever been wronged? I mean really wronged. Hey, that wasn't fair. Because I worked at that rate and I didn't get treated that way. I didn't get treated properly. I think I ought to straighten them out. And some of us who've been teachers and in a place of authority, we have a problem with sometimes straightening people out. But this is the opposite of it. And it has the idea of to be long-suffering. It has to put up with others. Well, he treated me wrong. Well, what's the Bible tells you as a Christian? A uniform that you must have is to be patient, most patient, and accept life, accept people. Oh, well, slow to anger. Yeah, but I got a hot head and I blow up. Uh-huh. I know what you're talking about. You say, well, don't excuse it. Don't blame it on your dad. Don't blame it on mom. Don't blame it on your environment. Blame it on the fact it's the old nature yet. But the Lord says, I got a replacement for that old dirty cloth of blowing off and having a short fuse. Have a long fuse. That's what it is. That's what it really means. Long suffering. You know what a long fuse would be? Long burning. You know, the Lord has been long-suffering with us, and we're to be like Jesus. Well, but I got some good news for you. I love this. I really do. The last piece of clothing to put on is a top coat. Yes, sir, verse 14. Look at it. And above all. Above what? Above all of them. Okay. Above all these, right? Verse 13, 12 and 13, forbearing and forgiving one another. I'm not going into that. But and above all these things, now what am I supposed to do? Put on, right now, put on love. You mean that's the queen of all, king of all? Yes, sir. That's the bond of perfectness. Wow. What are you talking about? Well, we all know what a top coat is. We all know what an overcoat is. One that has a belt on it. You're kidding me. No, verse 14. It's talking about clothing. And it says, there's one that it has a bond of perfectness. It has a belt or a girdle. And this is it binds everything together. It covers up everything. It's called love. Love covers a multitude of sins. Oh, well, then I don't have to. Okay, that's fine. Let's go home, preacher. I don't have to worry about any of those virtues. I can cover it up with a top coat. Did I say that? I said if we have problems, the Lord graciously arranged for us to put on a top coat, an overcoat, that will just cover those areas that we weren't very strong on. But he still wants us to put them on. And he wants us to work at them. You know, I believe in sovereignty of God, but I also believe in human responsibility. And that's some people say, I can't figure that one out, nor can I. Who used to stand up here lying to you? But I do believe it. But you know, it has top priority. Oh, wow. What has top priority? The last thing to put on as a Christian that makes you distinctive as a real child of God, a real
follower of Christ is love, the agape love, which means self-sacrificial love, the love that God is. Now, don't get some gooey-dooey idea about love here. You talk about in a biblical sense. The idea that it's a glue. It's a mortar. That holds some of us brickheads together. I speak for myself. But some of you aren't all just as soft heads either. But it's good to have fortitude. In fact, the Bible says we're to be angry and sin not. If I see a situation where somebody is being ill-treated, abused, and for me not to do anything about it or saying about it, that's not obeying the scriptures. I am to be angry with the situation, and I'm to say, hey, listen, that's not right. You dare not treat that person like that. And you may have to stand in and take a knock on the head and turn the other cheek if you really are concerned about others. Mind my own business. No, that's not biblical. That's Ann Landers. We're to mind the business of those. I really think that if we're going to talk about love, where are we going to go for a few minutes? You say, well, everybody knows you go to 1 Corinthians 13. You don't have to tell us to go there. But I think sometimes we get so accustomed to it. We know all about 1 Corinthians 13 that we say, I don't need to go there. I know all about it. No, I don't. And I've studied it, and I love the chapter. And in that 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I want us to turn there. Notice the first few verses, if not, and that it's not the whole thing. I'm not going to go over the whole thing. But if you'll notice these first few verses. You know, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Boy, I can speak all different kind of languages. I'm bilingual. Are you? And if I have not charity or love, what am I? Oh, just a sounding brass. I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Just noisy gong, echoing bronze, clash of cymbals. That's all you are if I don't have love. And though I have the gift of prophecy, that is preaching, I believe, and I understand all mysteries. Oh, you're a straight-A student, aren't you? Yep. I am. I'm a student. You understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I'm nothing. Pretty strong there, Lord. I know a lot, and I know a lot of secret things, things that seem to be hidden from most people. And I have faith, oh man, I have faith that I can move hills and from their places, perfect faith. But if I don't have love, he says, I'm nothing. I'm useless. I'm worth nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love or charity, it profiteth me nothing. Look at that. Amazing. If I just dole out everything I have, and sell everything, give it to feed the hungry, and if I even say, listen, you can have all my organs. If I were even burned for being a preacher, though I give my body to be burned, you know what? If I don't have love, it profited me nothing. I'm not even going to be benefited. Whoa, he gave his life. He did this. Yep, didn't have love. What a beautiful top coat. Joseph, your coat is nothing compared to this. I tell you, if you know anything about this, if you don't have this, you're just a legalistic Christian, and you're pretentious, and you just walk right, and you do everything right, and you think you're just top man. But all virtues flow from this last virtue. All of them flow from it. What? All these other virtues flow out from the love. Oh,
tell you what, this is a beautiful coat. It's so beautiful that it's an overcoat of love. And it's fitted with a belt. Well, what do you need a belt on a coat for? To keep everything in place. Fellas, we need belts, don't we? Keep everything in place. You girls wear belts too. And God says, I'll give you the most beautiful coat of all. It's a coat that is a love, self-sacrificial, the love that I am. You're a new man in Christ. You can have this coat, but you've got to put it on, and you've got to take that belt, and you hook that belt in and hold everything together, hold all these other pieces of clothing on you so that you have the right identification as a child of God. Whoa. I don't pass the test. That's what a top coat will do for you. It'll help you. You go with that love, the love that God is, and they're not going to be looking underneath. They're not going to be looking underneath to see that you got everything right there. And if you're working at it and not using it as an excuse, God is saying, I'll cover it up until you catch up, son. But I want you to catch up, and I want you to dress right. But if you're not a believer, God tell you something. All those things. If you're not a believer, the scripture makes it clear, you'll not reflect Christ. You can reflect religiosity and churchianity. We can all do that. But you'll not reflect Christ. Wouldn't it be something? And I read this, you know, you read stories and say, "Woo, well, that sounds so good, but was it true?" There was back in the old days, and I told you this the last time, but I'll tell you again. Back in the old days, when people didn't have motels like they had, they just had inns. And this one man, he came and he engaged an inn for several days and maybe even a week. And he was put in a back room, and there's this one little girl, and she was a bad one. We would also call her today a slut. And I know that's a bad word, but that's what she was. And she watched this man. He treated her respectfully. He talked to her kindly. She was a young thing. And so a day came where he had to leave. And as he's signing out, she comes up to him and says, "Excuse me, sir." He said, "Yes, what can I do? Are you M? She thought maybe it was the Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be something they could say that of us? See, we haven't arrived. And by the way, you can have a head full of creed and theology, but if you have creeds, you have to have conduct. Too. Don't forget conduct. Conduct. I know these things. I know a lot of Bible. How's your conduct? But believers, we need to realize this old flesh, the old nature. We realize that that old dog doesn't need to be fed so much. In fact, if we could just starve the old nature, wouldn't it be something? We'll talk about uniform. Let's sing that last hymn. Put on a uniform as a Christian soldier. What? Soldiers have uniforms. Well, so do Christians. It's 481. Am I a soldier of the cross? 481.
Lost, I be carried to the skies. the last two stanzas. Thy saints in all this glorious war shall conquer though they die. They view the triumph from afar and seize it with their eye. When that illustrious day shall rise, let all thine army shine in groves of victory.
Let's pray. Our Father, we've heard and we've studied, and we ask that in light of ourselves, that the Spirit of God would work in our hearts. We have good intentions. We have good resolves. And we hear things, but that doesn't stick. And so may these precious commands and mandates that we have looked at tonight, may they stick. May we have the seriousness. May we be concerned that we might show forth our Lord Jesus and that there would be Christ-likeness. And yes, Lord, we ask for your blessing. We ask for your keeping. We're asking for your face to shine upon us. We're asking for grace more upon us. And, Lord, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace through Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, the very next verse, I'm excited about it because I trust that Wednesday night will be a blessing to us as we have a service of thanksgiving, and I'm going to put it that way too. I want to look at the very next verse, how that the product of peace is gratitude. If you have peace in your heart, and you'll have thankfulness and gratitude. And I want to major on that subject of verse 15 of Colossians 3. I want to sing some hymns too, Robert. And by the way, did you put that on the internet website already? Hey, man, you're on the website. So playing. If you want to hear some Thanksgiving playing, you just turn on the website. I wish you'd continued to use that. You pay for it, or it's I know it's expensive, but ought to be telling people about listening. All right, comments, inquiries, or questions, or some thought that you had concerning this matter of a top coat of love from verse 13, or something other than that. Something else on your heart. Go ahead. What do you want to share with us?
How's Ken's brother? What's the situation?
Well, we called. And we have not heard. Ken has only contact by cell phone. And so the message was laid on his cell phone. We want to know. But his teaching experience, I must tell you, his teaching is not quite standardized teaching. He's teaching special students. They have needs. And the State Department, as Rick can tell you, they're just getting crazy with paperwork. And they just almost drown him with paperwork. Plus, he has to teach all different subjects to these students. And Ken is a pretty busy fellow, and he's gone to his. He haven't seen him for a while. You know that he's in Philadelphia. If his brother's still living, he's there now, and he takes over for mother. Helps mother. She stays at the hospice, and from what we understand, David has already passed away, but we have not verification of that, have we? No verification of that. Plus, Ken had an eye operation, too. Now, if you don't have something else. Yes, I got a few minutes, don't I? This came from the London Times. Well, that's their newspaper.
And it was what day? The 20th of this week. It has to do with a reporter by the name of Blakely in Bombay. Has a picture, and you can't see it because it's small. I thought I'd just copy it off because you might pick up something here for prayer interest. He starts out by saying, extremist Hindu groups offered money, food, and alcohol to mobs to kill Christians and destroy their homes, according to Christian aid workers in the eastern state of Orissa. That's in India. The allegations follow the British government's refusal to prevent members of two radical groups linked to the worst anti-Christian violence in India since partition entered Britain. The United States-based head of a Christian organization that runs several orphanages in Orissa, one of India's poorest regions, claimed that the Christian leaders are being targeted by Hindu militants and they carry a price on their heads. Quote, the going price to kill a pastor is $250. Raman is the head of the Good News in India. He said that, quote, end quote. A spokesman for the All Indian Christian Council, he said, quote, people are being offered rewards to kill and to destroy churches and Christian properties. They are being offered foreign liquor, chicken, mutton, and weapons. They are given petrol, that is gasoline and kerosene, end quote. And then he goes on and shows how many Christians were killed and so forth and so on. Now, if my thinking is right, that I've read of Joel having something to do with Orissa, O-R-R-O-R-I-S-S-A. Would you verify that, Rick?
Yeah, it's the neighboring state to him.
And he goes there. $250 for head of a preacher. I mean, take his life. So if you're in the business of praying, you might pray for Joel and his family. If this is the Hindus' desire. I was also discomforted this week to know that Joyce Myers. Now, she's a woman preacher, and she has written a lot of books. And you go to Sam's Club, you can find a number of her books. And they tell about Joyce and her organization that she was giving $1 for every person that would submit to baptism.
In India.
In India. And she comes back and says how many people, thousands of people, who were saved and has pictures to show. Now, there's very poor Indians, too. A dollar would mean a lot. This is the kind of conniving that some people say, oh, that's not so. Yes. That's the kind of stuff that goes on in the name of the Lord. You need to have a Christian, the uniform of a Christian instead of being disobedient and rebellious. That breaks my heart, friends, to tell you that. I wish I could tell you sweet things more. Anything else? Our Father, as we have heard the news as of this week, past week, in the situation of Orissa, and as we understand Brother Joel has some connections, we are concerned for his safety. We ask that you'd hedge him in, protect him, not only him, but his family and those folk of the churches that he helps. We pray your will be done in his life and help them. We pray for Ken Knight, the man of the family, David and mother and his brother and sister. We pray that you'd help Ken. And then our Father, we pray that we might be able to see clearly what is going on in the name of Christ and how things are being done. Help us that we might show forth Christ, even as this week is with us. In his name we pray. Amen.